The Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him,
"You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestors.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire."
And the crowds asked him,
"What then should we do?"
In reply, he said to them,
"Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise."
Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him,
"Teacher, what should we do?"
He said to them,
"Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you."
Soldiers also asked him,
"And we, what should we do?"
He said to them,
"Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages."
As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying,
"I baptized you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire."
So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I invite the children to stand for us this morning. I could even understand the words. Sometimes the words are hard to understand, but you did a good job. And thank you for the message. It's a great message. And it's obvious you know you're not confused about what this season is all about. Have you ever felt confused as you watch TV about whether they know what the season is really all about? Yesterday I was watching some TV and I saw a couple of commercials that left me really wondering. One of them had somebody, I think it might have been Johnny Depp or one of those stars, driving a car in the desert. And at the end, finally, you see what he's selling is some kind of men's cologne. Don't even know what it was. And then there was another one where a woman is having this argument with somebody, and you don't know until the end when they put up a picture that she's selling some kind of perfume. Have no idea what the connection was. Well, people get confused about what we really are celebrating. Robert Fulghum, in his book, Everything I Needed to Learn, No, I Learned in Kindergarten, tells about a time when he went home from church and, like pastors will do, was taking his afternoon nap. He said he was awakened by a pounding on his door. When he went to his door, there was this little kid who had a shabby Santa outfit on with a Santa mask. And he had a bag in his hand and he said, "Trick or treat." Well, Fulghum said he was still groggy, but he reached in his wallet and he pulled out a $5 bill and put it in the kid's bag. And then the kid lifted his mask and he saw that it was Hung Doc, who was a Vietnamese refugee who had resettled there. And this little kid had a $10 grin on his face. He was just as happy as could be, and he said, "Do you want to hear some carols?" And Fulghum says, "Well, sure. What else do you say?" And this little kid breaks into a song, "Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way." That was one. And then the next one was, "Hark the hairy angels sing." And then he sang "Silent Night." And he said when he got to the last verse, he looked down and he saw this little boy was looking up at the... Well, his face was up, but his eyes were closed, and he sang the most beautiful line, "Sleep in heavenly peace." Fulghum said he was so amazed at this little boy singing that song that he reached in his wallet and pulled out another $5 and put it in the bag. And the kid was just even more thrilled. And he said, and he reached in the bag himself and pulled out a half a candy cane and handed it to Fulghum and said, "God bless you. And trick or treat." And he was off down the street. Well, we are pretty well convinced if we know, we're not confused about what this season is all about. At least, most of us are not. And we've got lots of reminders around us, but we've grown up with it too. Back in the day, Zephaniah is writing to people who are confused about the time too. They have been in exile now, and they are lonely back there and wanting to come home. Zephaniah knows their history and knows what they've been going through. The kings of Judah have been a real problem, because starting with Hezekiah was reasonably good, and Hezekiah tried to bring about some reform, but not very successfully. His son Manasseh was one of the worst kings of Judah, in that he even instituted child sacrifice. And his son Amon was about the same way. Then we come to Josiah, who started a major reform, but it was too late. Israel was almost on its way into exile. And Judah has been like a football being tossed back and forth by all of these different countries, from Egypt to Assyria to Babylon to Persia. And with all of that history, they are confused. What's going to happen to us? And Zephaniah, like many of the other prophets, gives them hope, gives them the knowledge and reminder that they are God's people, that God still loves them, and that God has something good in store for them. In fact, at the end it says that God will restore their fortunes. For a people in exile, that is good news. And he is thrilled with that good news, to know, or they are thrilled with it, to know that one day they will return and their fortunes will be restored. But even then, when you're in a position like that, there are a lot of people who are down in the mouth. Things are not going well. We see the same thing today, where things don't always go the way we want them to. If there's anybody who should feel down in the mouth, it was the Apostle Paul. As he writes this letter to the Philippians, he's in prison in Rome. And being in prison in Rome is almost like being on death row. He knows very few people survive. But look at the letter that he writes to the Philippians and to us. Even though with all the problems he's got, he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord. Don't worry about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And God will lift you up." That's his message. And that's his hope. In fact, You know, as I read Paul's letter to the Philippians, it kind of reminds me of a cartoon I saw. It's a cartoon of, I love Peanuts comic strips, and this one is one in which Linus and Snoopy are dancing. They are just dancing away and having a great old time, and Lucy comes along and she says, "You guys, what's the matter with you? Why, you're always dancing. You know, if you keep dancing like that, and like this stupid dog, you're going to become as dumb and as useless as he is." Well, Linus has a little bubble over his head that says, 500 years from now, who's going to know the difference? Well, with all of the things that are going on around us, we might consider getting out of this sad face and having a happy face to remind us that these problems have always been around us. And they're going to be there for many, many generations. But we have an advantage. We, like the people of Judah in exile, we are God's people. And we just need to remember that again and again and again. The prophets reminded them that they had a covenant with God and to return to that covenant. But you are God's people. And we need to remember that too. Because sometimes we have a tendency to just think, well, we're members of the church. What else is there? No. That's only a small portion of it. Here's what we need to do. We need to declare to ourselves and to the world, we are God's people. Say that with me. We are God's people. And now you get really personal and say, I am God's person. Say that with me.
I am God's person.
Fantastic. When John the Baptist is in the wilderness preaching, you would think that his message would be much more uplifting. But you notice what he calls the people. You brood of vipers. Not exactly a complimentary thing to tell the people. But he's trying to get their attention and remind them that they have a covenant with this God. And that this covenant leads them to a new future, to something they have hoped for and dreamed for. And the people ask, in fact, his answer to their question of what should we do sounds almost like an advertisement for the food pantry. What should we do? You have an extra cup? Give it to somebody who doesn't have one. Have some extra food? Give it to somebody who doesn't have food. And notice what he says to the tax collector. He doesn't tell him, stop taking taxes. He knows that the government has to run on something, and we may not like it, but the way they do it. But he doesn't say that. He says, just don't take more than you're supposed to take. And with the soldier, it's the same thing. He doesn't tell him to stop being a soldier. He knows that soldiers are necessary for the security of a nation. But he says, don't use your position to extort from others, because we have the opportunity to give thanks and praise God that he has made us his people and that he will be with us to the end of the ages. As we sing some of these songs and we remember why this season is here, I wrote a song, well, I didn't write the song. This is an old, old song that you might know, but I rewrote the words. And as you catch on, you can sing along with me. You better keep watch. You better not cry. You better put on your happy face. Why? Jesus Christ is coming again. He came long ago, a day full of life, lived among people burdened with strife. Jesus Christ is coming again. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows thanks for giving a day. Oh, you better keep watch, you better not cry, you better put on your happy face. Why? Jesus Christ is coming again. Oh, he died for our sins, he rose from the dead, he loved you enough to save you instead. Jesus Christ is coming again. You better keep watch, you better not cry, you better put on your happy face. Why? Jesus Christ is coming again. So with Snoopy and all of those of us who know that we are God's children, let's put on our happy face and remember Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.